Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand. From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. And a shout out to Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the program here in the bunker for Wednesday. Is it the 15th?
16th.
In the year of our Lord, 2019, it is episode number 95 of the program today. A very special day, and I predict it's going to be a lot of fun. Rod Peterson here, Darren DuPont there. I'm smoke, he's fire.
You've done that one already.
No, I haven't.
Are you sure, Clark?
I'm positive.
Go to the archives.
Don't worry about it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, yeah. Good morning.
We have the esteemed voice of the Saskatoon Blades in the bunker to open up the warm-up, my brother from another mother. How you doing, Lester?
Wonderful, Rod. Nice to be here. I've been on a couple of times. Well, sort of. I mean, we've had enough technical issues, unfortunately, and it's not anybody's fault except my own because I'm a technical midget. So as a result, we haven't been on really except for once. But to be here live and to be in this little man cave, as I call it, an honor, a privilege for me to be
well,
able to say that.
Well, I'm very happy to have you here. Yeah. And speaking of pointing the arrow at yourself, I'll be doing that shortly, so stay tuned.
Oh, boy.
Also coming up on the program today, Derek Duke Myers, CFL, NFL alum Willie Pyle. You remember him from the Argos. He's joining us to talk mostly National Football League, but some CFL, too. Social media influencer, star Amanda Ruler will be here, and Ricky Foley. We'll be on the program as well. Three-time Grey Cup champion and basketballer Andrew Gotzelig coming up in the overtime segment. Morning sports headlines today. Washington heading to the World Series for the first time in 86 years. The wildcard Nationals used a 7-run first inning and Patrick Corbin's 12-strikeout performance to beat the Cardinals 7-4 for a sweep of the NLCS. Washington put up 7 runs in the first, all charged to Cardinals rookie Dakota Hudson, who lasted all of 15 pitches. Now, it seems like Arash Madani and I are the only ones that care about the Expos and carrying this flag. Les, you must be.
I love the Expos.
Do you feel some nostalgia here?
I do feel nostalgia. I didn't like when the team moved to Washington, obviously, because I was a born and bred Expos fan right from the beginning in 1969. But I think I've forgiven them, and not just this year. I think it's happened over time, and eventually that's going to happen, where that franchise that you grew up watching has gone somewhere else. I never did have that happen, though, with the 1.0 Jets moving to Arizona. I still hate the Coyotes. But the Nationals, I forgive them. And, yeah, the fact that the Expos are in the World Series, tremendous. I'm thrilled about that.
As am I. I didn't like it when they left either, but I'm over it. And as far as I'm concerned, the Expos are in the World Series.
They
so
sure
I would
are.
Think, and there will be a lot of stories coming out over the next week to 10 days, 2 weeks over that story. Meanwhile, the Houston Astros have the upper hand in their American League Championship Series against the Yankees. Gerrit Cole, what a story he's been. Pitched 7 scoreless innings, and Jose Altuve and Josh Reddick homered early as the Astros down New York 4-1 to take a 2-1 series lead in the Bronx. Game 4 is today at Yankee Stadium. We'll get to the NHL later. Are you going to get a lot of that? I do have to mention, because I know there's a lot of people tuning in this morning, because I said I was going to apologize for Winnipeg. I don't know if you've been following that story, Les.
Yes, I have.
So, and as Clark has reminded me, it's not just Winnipeg, as Manitobans have been reminding us on Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's not just Winnipeg you need to apologize to. So that's fine. Listen, I screwed up. I goofed. Here is the condition. Well, first I'll get to the apology and then the condition that I need.
Okay.
But I was chatting with a Rider alum this morning in the gym, and we agreed. Like, we don't watch the news, he and I. I did not realize the severity of the storm. So now I do. And now I did some reading on it.
Mm-hmm.
Tens of millions of dollars of damage in southern Manitoba. It's going to cost to clean this up. SAS Power sending workers to help. Portage still without power. All of that. So as I said in the rant yesterday, it is on me. So I've seen everything from this is rude, this is uneducated, this is insensitive, and all those things. probably is all those things. I would prefer to say uneducated, but not like I haven't been called insensitive before. But here's the condition. You have to accept it. You can't come back years down the line and say, remember that time you blasted us on the storm? No, I'm sincerely saying I screwed up. I need you to sincerely accept it, Winnipeg, and let's move on. Now, it's your hometown, Les.
Yes.
And a lot of my great friends are there. The sports doctor, yes, obviously. Mark Romas, the Seattle Thunderbird scout, yep, close friend of mine. All the Bomber staff, yep, that I've worked with. Like, they get it. And they're literally saying, that's just Rod being Rod. You know what I mean? And you probably were, too. I'm not to be paid attention to. Unless I'm breaking news. But if Rod's giving an opinion, just put up a disclaimer. So I apologize, Winnipeg. It was stupid of me. I misspoke. Can we please move on? And I hope you'll accept my apology because it's sincere.
As a born and raised Winnipegger, accepted.
Thank you.
On behalf of the Manitobans.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Manitobans. Okay. Yeah.
On behalf of a million Manitobans who just finished reelecting Brian Pallister as premier. Yes. Now there are going to be people upset at me because they didn't vote for the guy and they don't like him. Oh, well, that's the way it goes.
Thank you, Lester. So moving on, and we'll get to the Facebook wall in a moment in the comments from there. But I got to get to You saw my face when I walked in this morning. I didn't know you were going to be here.
I know.
And I'm checking the WHL schedule, and my mind's scanning real fast. The Blades aren't anywhere around here. So I didn't know why you were here. So thanks for coming in. It's
not
a
problem.
Treat. And what do you think of the whole place? And why are you here?
I love this place. This is a man cave. This is something that if I was able to do this at home, and hi to my wife back in Saskatoon who's watching on Facebook Live right now. Verna, this is our duo for today. We'll chat later on. But no, this is something. I mean, if we were to show her what's going on here, she'd look at this and say, well, yeah, we could probably do that to your office room. Actually, we already have. But anyway, no, I love this. This is a great setup, what you've got here. Now, the reason why I'm here, the Blades played in Medicine Hat last night, lost to the Tigers 3-1, finishing off a run of 5 games in 7 days, which was a killing schedule. It included travel, included a trip to Brandon last Friday during that blizzard. We were fortunate to get home in time for the next game at home the next night against Lethbridge. So that's part of the reason why. Now we're going from Medicine Hat to Winnipeg, and we decided to stop in Regina and spend the night at the Hotel Saskatchewan when we finally got here at like 3 a.m. and continue on today. We'll leave at noon and get on into Winnipeg this evening and spend 2 off days in Winnipeg, including an NHL game tomorrow night as they play host to the Islanders. Looking forward to that. And then the games are against the Winnipeg Ice on Saturday and Sunday nights. So a little bit of time off, a little bit of team bonding time for the Saskatoon Blades, and looking forward to the rest of the season.
Darren, I want you to jump in right away because you'll have a lot of questions. Being
sure,
the Blades lover that you are, I just want to interject. Luke Irwin from Winnipeg watching this morning. He says, apology accepted, Rod. And
nice.
Thank you, Luke. He said some very kind things about the show yesterday. We want a friendship with Winnipeg because we want to take a party bus to Jets games and the Banjo Bowl and stuff like that.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. With this show. So we need to get along. So thank you for that. And you dropped something less on a chat with Bob Ridley last night that you had, the legendary voice of the Tigers, who I always called Uncle Giggles. If you watch Flintstones, doesn't he look like Uncle Giggles from the Flintstones?
Wow.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but now that you mention it, yeah.
So the topic of the Blades' lack of a WHL championship came up in our morning coffee session here before the show, and I mentioned a curse and what might have caused that. And you said, no, it wasn't that. It might have been this. This came up last night.
Yeah, well, last night was 49 years ago to the date, October 15th, 1970, at the Medicine Hat Tigers played their first ever Western Canada Hockey League game as a franchise against the Saskatoon Blades. Big deal made in the game notes about that. And so I decided, well, I should have Bob Ridley on in the intermission to talk about this and get his thoughts on, you know, the game itself, what he remembers, et cetera, et cetera. So in the course of the questioning, I said, so what's the biggest memory that you have, favorable memory from Medicine Hat Tigers time? And he said, well, 1973, the first ever championship that they won when they beat the Blades in the final. Back then, Medicine Hat was in the West Division. The Blades were in the East Division. They met up in the final. And as Rids relates, he says, the Blades were so confident that they were going to win that series that they had already purchased their tickets to fly to the Memorial Cup because they thought, no way we're going to lose to the Medicine Hat Tigers. Well, guess what? The Tigers got all amped up for that because they knew what was going on. They beat the Blades and took the Blades tickets and flew to the Memorial Cup instead. And then Ridds finished off by saying that series may have been the start of the curse of the Blades. And I hadn't really thought of it that way. You can talk about all kinds of curses for a team, a franchise that hasn't won a championship since its existence started in 1964. But man, that may be the closest thing you might come to a curse. There's others who will say that there's back-to-back years in which they lost to the Tigers in the playoffs and the conferences. The back-to-back years they lost in the final to the New Westminster Bruins back in the mid-70s. The losses to Kamloops in the early 90s, which was the last time the Blades got to a WHL final in 1994. There's all kinds of them, but that one may be the one just because of the cockiness that that Blade team had, thinking they were going to a Memorial Cup. And it's a tough curse to overcome. A lot of fans in Saskatoon want it to end. I'd like to see it end. I just don't know when it's going to happen. This year's team, a lot of hype at the beginning of the year from outside, but right now, not doing too badly. 7-4-1 last night. The loss in Medicine Hat ended a run of seven straight games in which they'd gotten at least a point in the standings, and they've moved themselves 1 point behind PA in the top of the East Division.
Yeah. You got anything for them?
I just love that story. I mean,
do you believe it? Do you believe that's the curse?
I'm beginning to. I don't have any other reason to believe. Like I say, there's so many other things that have happened in Blade's history that could lead you to believe, well, that's the curse starting. I don't know if I necessarily believe in curses either. But then again, there's so many of them in sports. I mean, there's the old Bambino curse with the Boston Red Sox that they finally overcame. And there's other teams have had curses.
There's curses.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you need to perform an exorcism in the dressing room of the Blades.
73?
That's what you need to do.
I can just see Mitch Love and Ryan Marsh and Ryan Keller saying, yeah, come on in, let's sacrifice the chicken and let's do it here right now. Yeah,
can we film it?
Not happening.
If you come in with the idea that there's a curse and you got to perform an exorcism, you'll walk in, there'll be a plastic tarp in the thing. It'll be for you.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're closer to the truth.
Yes. Hey, before we let you go and move the Duke in, the Kirby Doc update, is there one?
The Kirby Doc update is he's playing on a conditioning assignment with the Rockford Ice Hogs in the American Hockey League. And people go, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah,
how can that happen?
Whoa. He's 18, right?
He's 18. He's supposed to come back to Saskatoon or else play in the NHL. You can be sent to the American Hockey League on a conditioning assignment. He got knocked out of a game in the Traverse City rookie tournament back in mid-September, has not performed during the preseason for the Blackhawks. And so when he was ready, when he was cleared physically from the concussion protocol to return to the ice and be a part of the team, the Hawks took the advantage of putting him on the conditioning assignment, which can only last 14 days. So as of the 26th of October, no later, he has to be moved either up to Chicago's roster or down to Saskatoon. So that's where he's at right now.
So we sit and wait.
We sit and wait. It's all in the hands of Stan Bowman and the Chicago Blackhawks.
So that's the warm-up, ladies and gentlemen. Clark has just informed me this game of musical chairs. So you're moving out, Darren.
So I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Duke's moving in. We've got a live studio audience today. It's a fun Wednesday here on episode number 95. We'll get to some famous number 95s coming up as well. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Alan Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
So do I.
Hey, welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Wednesday morning. I got too many phones going on here, but I got to say, Norway checking in. Trent in Norway, where it's evening, says number 95, Luke Mullander. Go Riders. So hello to our 19 viewers in Norway, pointing out number 95, Luke Mullander, in honor of our 95th episode of the program. We'll get to more 95s because Brady in Saskatoon has chimed in with some as well. Morning's sports update. The Saskatchewan Rush have signed first-round pick Tanner Thompson to a one-year deal. He was selected 16th overall in this year's first round of the NLL draft. He's from Etobicoke, Ontario. So good news for the Rush getting him signed. Tuesday was day one of the XFL draft. Former Rough Riders being selected were quarterback Marquise Williams, 10th round by the New York Guardians, D lineman Davis Tull, 4th round by the Houston Roughnecks, and wide receiver KD Cannon, which I always thought sounded like an exotic dancer. Welcome to the stage, KD Cannon. Angeles Wildcats, 6th round. Other former CFLers going: Hamilton Tigercats wide receiver Jalen Saunders and Calgary Stampeders D lineman James Vodders. There's your morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, where the Rod Peterson Show slow pitch team lost last night 17-14. Could have used you, DuPont. Just putting that out there. And I was going to saw the Ballers guys in the gym this morning. I think I have a new tagline for them: Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest pickup joint.
Oh, wow.
It was a Tuesday night. The place was crawling, and there were some women there with less than honorable intentions.
Uh-oh.
Ballers. Wow. I said to Ricky Regina, who was running the place, I said, Ricky, there can't be a bar in town that has more people in it tonight than this one on a Tuesday. He named one other place that he thought that it might be.
Lauderdale's used to be the place to go on Tuesdays.
Go check that out. See how that is now.
Isn't it like a computer networking sharing place?
Yes, it is. I was actually went in there by accident a couple weeks ago. You guys were snickering when I mentioned the XFL draft results, and today's day two of the draft. Mm-hmm. Why are you snickering?
Just because of what happened with the first one. That seems to happen with every other American football league. They seem to go the way of the dodo bird, and very quickly, all we have to do is take a look at the AAF. So, you know, it's just the way it is, I think. The XFL has a shelf life, I think, ended yesterday.
Yeah, fair.
Keith Price is actively on Twitter, still saying he has still waiting for a phone call. Former
Teeth Price,
former Rider quarterback. Wait, Kansas or Kansas State?
He played at Washington. Washington Huskies.
Yes.
Who was at Kansas? Who was the quarterback that was here from Kansas? I think he spent some time there as well. He might have
possibly. But the reason I ask if you were snickering at the players, and this is something that I've quiet.
Can't distract.
It's not a movie up here.
He can't.
Is the players, these guys are guys that I got to know personally, particularly Marquise Williams, who I really liked. And I just think, do you say, guys, call it a career, like what you're saying about Keith Price? Do you kind of look down on them and go, guys, no? Or do you admire the fact that they won't give up the dream?
I like the fact that they won't give up on the dream. Hey, if there's an avenue out there for you to try and continue your career, to make a go at something that you love to do, then absolutely go for it. No matter whether or not the league has a chance of making it or not, give it the opportunity. I mean, I do what I do because I love what I do. And if I was no longer doing what I do, I'd probably try to find some other avenue to do what I love to do. So, and I'm 60 years old. These guys are still young and in their prime. And to want to play professional football and make a living playing a game and sport that you love, why not?
So you admire it.
Absolutely.
Cool. You obviously haven't been by the Cooperator Center for Adult Safe Hockey League's games. There's still guys out there living the dream.
Yeah, and we snicker at them.
For a lot less. Yeah, but you know what? You only get one shot at these things, you know, especially when it comes to the world of sports. You could go back to university, you can start a new career, you could do all, but if you're an athlete, these chances, there is a window, and there is a very definite window. I try to explain to two young kids, you know, that I deal with soccer or hockey, these things, take that chance, because at 25 years old, you know, that window is starting to close. So whether it be junior A or major junior or even junior B, be a part of that team, have that experience, play collegiately, Because at 30 years old, you can go back and you can take business classes, but you can't go back and be a part of the soccer team at a university.
It's why, and I'm going to open up a bit of a kettle of fish here when it comes to the Western Hockey League, which I know pretty well. Guys who have the opportunity, you know the rules with regards to the education. You get a year's worth of university tuition and books paid for every year you play in the league. That, though, of course, is scrubbed as soon as you're playing in the National Hockey League. If you play a year's worth of minor pro, choose to come back to university, you can use your scholarship monies. However, once you get into year two, I believe, and the rules may have changed.
I believe it was up to Christmas, but...
Well, whatever it is, but once you get to a certain point, and it's pretty quick, you then lose that scholarship money. To me, I think that window needs to be extended a little bit because, like you say, at age 25, well, these guys are coming out of junior hockey at the latest at age 21, going into the real world. Did you really have it all together at age 25?
I'm 42 and I don't have it together yet, Les.
You know, Rod, I know I didn't at age 25.
No.
So why not extend the window? I'm not saying to 25, but maybe more than just till Christmas of the next year or a year. Maybe make it 2 or 3 years somewhere down the line. Because there's still a maturing process. There's still a process that needs to be going through to figure out what exactly it is you want to do with your life.
Well, it takes time. Chris Kunitz is a perfect example of a guy, you know, a late bloomer. He couldn't have made that decision to go, am I going to continue to be pro? If he'd have been forced to make that decision and come back, he might not be, what is it, three-time Stanley Cup champion because he would have been forced to make a decision. Now, his path was a little different, but there are kids and players, and hockey is just one example. I mean, there's a plethora of sports for this.
I would say that Kunitz had it figured out ahead of time in that he went SJHL, then NCAA, then the NHL. He had it all mapped out. But, you know, it's a little off topic from what I was talking about pro football players. Right. Same sort of idea. Yeah. But it just reminds me of, and this is one of the many reasons why I will always be a fan of Chris Jones. They had a camp in Bradenton, Florida, where the Riders said, come on down. For the first day, the play-in day, where the guys literally pay their $100 US and line up, there must have been 200 players out there. Because the real sanctioned two-day minicamp wasn't until Tuesday, Wednesday, but the Saturday was when the guys would come from all over America to try out. And I was allowed to roam anywhere on the field. And I was just listening to what these players were saying. I was talking to some of their parents. Mm-hmm. And Jones was literally like running them into the ground. And I was think it was 35 degrees Celsius in Florida, which probably felt like 45.
Yeah.
And there was some high school and college coaches there as well that walked over and they thought I was a coach. And they said, oh, now we see what Jones is doing here. The last one standing makes the team. Is that it? Because it was just over and over and over and over with the reps. And after like 4 hours in this hot Florida sun, and they're still going.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm standing with some of the Rider coaches, and I'm like, why won't these guys quit? How come nobody's leaving? I would have quit by now.
Yeah.
And the coaches said the second they walk off the field,
they're done.
It's over.
Finished.
And they don't want to say goodbye to the dream. So that kind of leads
Don
to Narcisse. These XFL guys.
Don Narcisse showed up with a pair of shoes.
Yeah.
And 20 bucks.
Same thing. Hall of Famer. You know, I mean, that's... He had the dream, and he wasn't going to give it up. And these guys that are going into the XFL, I mean, do you think Don Narcisse from Texas or Louisiana, like, he went to the camp, I think, in Louisiana. Think he had a clue where Regina, Saskatchewan was?
Nope.
I mean, do you think that was this, but it was football.
Yeah.
And that was the way to keep the dream alive. And these guys in the XFL, it's the same
thing. It's football. They don't care what their salary is.
Thing.
So much is being made of what the XFL players are going to be paid. Mm. These guys would literally play for nothing. Because it's still, well, it's playing football, A, and also the shot to get to the NFL, which I still think is a really big thing.
It's the step. Oh, yeah. Yes, absolutely. It is the carrot in front of the horse, for sure.
To the Facebook wall, a couple of things. Travis Hebert, whom you don't know and I don't know, but he put on Twitter, he's a show follower, and he said he's homesick, and put on Twitter, he asked what movies he should watch. Producer Clark wrote him and said, watch the Rod Peterson show if you're homesick. So Travis has written, watching from home because of hashtag DeathWatch 2019. So thanks, Travis. Plenty of fluids.
He's got the man flu or
and
what?
Chicken soup.
Have,
yeah,
he's going down.
Wow. From Glenn Erickson on the Facebook wall, Regina's Cole Sillinger named to the Hockey Canada roster for the 2020 Under-17 World Hockey Challenge.
Yeah,
and by the way, Cole Sillinger's name came up this morning in the gym, and here's why. People were complaining about the Pats and how crappy they are. They're 1-9, lost 9 in a row. Why don't we have Cole Sillinger? He'd be great. Well, as Clark pointed out to me, he's Clark's not just a pretty face. The Pats didn't have a first-round pick the year the Cole went. Mm-hmm. That was selling your soul to host a Memorial Cup and a shot to win it. It's a little why the Riders didn't get Jason Clairmont. Didn't have a pick when Jason was available.
Yeah.
And ended up going to the BC Lions. So, anyways, on Cole, and there just to pass along to the Sillinger fans, the Tiger fans, some news there. We're going to be bringing in...
He's good.
Willie... Isn't he?
He's good. I mean,
you saw him last night.
He's a player. There's no two ways about that. He's on their second line. He's on their first power play unit. Cole Sillinger is going to be the real deal. He's 6'1". He's 185 pounds. He looks like he's more. He looks like he's really built solidly.
His snapshot.
And his release is pro ready.
It's big league.
At age 16.
I agree 100%. And details. When you watch him, and I watched a lot of him with the Pat Canadians last year, and even when he got called up as a 15-year-old, you could see the influence of the old man. Face-offs.
Oh, yeah.
Details. The small parts of the game. Just the hockey IQ is just, he's got all the tools, but he's also got the IQ, and he's going to be one to watch.
By the way, just ahead of, who do we have at 10:30? Is it Willie Pyle? Okay, just ahead of Willie Pyle. We need a poll question today. As our friend Mike Lee says, are you guys holding a poll to find out what the poll is? Yes. Yeah. Clark and I put our heads together. Some might call that a rock pile. And we couldn't come up with a poll question today.
Joe Rockhead's volunteer fire department?
Yeah. So we invite on the Facebook wall, the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. What would make a good poll question today? Somebody mentioned who won the Jalen Ramsey trade, which by default might end up being our poll question today.
Should the Washington Nationals wear the Expos uniforms for one game in the World Series?
Yes.
It's a little late.
Well, no, it's a little, for one game.
No, why would they don't care about the Expos?
Well, they did earlier this year.
Yeah, they wore them once.
They wore them once. Why not?
Why not? Why?
Well, I'm just saying it's a good poll question. I'm not saying I'm on
the side. DuPont's got one from the studio.
Who hates Rod Moore?
He says Winnipeg, or Calgary, Hamilton.
Or his own household.
Or Milestone. Milestone. Funny. What was it? Look, everybody's going to vote that they should wear an Expos jersey.
Well, you're not.
It's the World Series. There's more important matters. This is not fart around time. This isn't a game in May.
It's time to make money.
I like fart around time. Come on, let's go. Let's have some fun.
Right.
This is sports, for heaven's sake.
Ah, I got it. This guy from PA who was calling you out earlier, Robin. He wanted you to know how great it feels when your team wins the WHL championship.
I know. He's
he also pointed out that they still love you in PA. He said.
No, they don't.
I like Robin's question.
Yes.
And Rod, by the way, Robin is the guy that came up with the term Rod Squad for our viewers and listeners. So Robin is no nincompoop up there in PA. I like this. Will the XFL last longer than the Alliance of American
Football? That's a good
football?
One. That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
And applicable.
And you let me know when Willie Pyle's ready with that, Clark, to go to Texas to join the former Argos linebacker number 10. But it wouldn't take long to beat the Alliance. They didn't even get through one season.
Eight weeks? Was it
just 2 weeks? I think, or 3 weeks?
Probably five or six. I think there was an 8-week season, and I think they made it six.
Yeah. Did they make it six?
Because of lack of funding, and they seem to be running.
I lost interest after two.
I watched a little bit.
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I didn't mind it at all either. It was football when there was no football on,
and that was the idea. So why did it not survive? I guess
for that very reason. I think Americans, once the NFL's done, they've had enough. Let's move on to something else. And I think that's why it's tough to get another American Football League going when you've just gone through a long NFL season, the climax being the Super Bowl. Now, all of a sudden, you're thrust with this other league coming in and trying to make them be relevant.
And it's a B-League. Yeah. Like, it is a B-League.
I think so. Yeah, it is.
I mean, there's no question.
Yeah.
Jared Dumba chiming in today. J. Red Dumba, 10-year pro hockey player, former Blade.
Yes.
And if you know Jared, you love him.
I do.
His suggestion for a poll question is, who's the last Regina-born star to play for the Pats? Well, come on, it's Eberle.
Yeah, that's it. That was easy.
Keep thinking.
A, Jordan Eberle. B, Jordan Eberle. C, Jordan Eberle. Or D, all of the above.
I'm going to see him tomorrow night in Winnipeg when the Islanders play the Jets.
Oh, that's the game you're getting?
That's the game I'm getting.
Actually, before we go any further and bring in Willie Pyle, please give me your take on the Jets. They got bombed to the Coyotes. Well, not bombed, but 4-2. a rare Coyotes win in Winnipeg, Les.
Yeah, very rare Coyotes win. I think there was a tweet put out this morning about how the last time there was an Arizona Coyotes win in Winnipeg, it showed an old roster of the Winnipeg Jets
from
1.0. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So, but the defense is... been good some nights and not so good the other nights. And that's the big thing right there right now is the Jets defense decimated by offseason departures, Jacob Trouba, Myers, and of course,
Morrissey's
big Buffalo. Morrissey's dinged up, but he had a tough night last night, put one into his own net. So yeah, the defense is hit and miss right now. They've got obviously their forwards. They've got decent goaltending. Hellebuck has to be better yet, I think, and I think he can be. He can return to what he was 2 years ago. But the Jets need to get some defense help. Come on, Mr. Shovel Day Off. Not Ken, but Kevin. Let's get some defense help in there some way, somehow, in order to get you back to where you need to be, a contender in the Western Conference.
We're putting the poll question up right now on Twitter and Facebook. Will the XFL last longer than the Alliance of American Football? You'll have 24 hours to vote on the poll, and I'm interested to hear the results. It's brought to you by Capital Auto Mall and Universal Collision Center. And that's where we will start with CFL NFL veteran Willie Pyle, who joins us from Texas via video chat this morning. Hey, how you doing, Willie? Good morning.
Hey, I'm doing good, Ron. How are you?
Good. Real good. Good to talk with you. And you must have an opinion as a pro football aficionado that you are. What would be your answer to that question?
You know what? I can tell you what my hope is. My hope is that it does last longer, right? In reality, it always comes down to funding. I mean, it's the money-driven world and the money-driven sport. And I think, I mean, and then again, you know, AAF also said they had the funding to last the full season. So as long as they don't overextend themselves, I really think that they can sustain salaries and operations. And so I'm going to go with the over if I was a betting man. I'm going to go with the over. I think McMahon and that crew learned a lot. I think his money's a little bit longer than the group that went in with the AAF. And so I feel like the L has a little footing in terms of what went wrong. And it's sometimes good to be the first one in the door. Other times it's good to be the second one so you don't get hit by that bear trap.
Right. Well, you're a very connected guy. Do you know some players that were selected in yesterday's day one or are hoping to hear their names called? Can you name some of them?
Absolutely. It was very important for me to see some of the guys that I'm close with. One of them is a guy that went to my high school, DeMorne Pearsonell. Spent a little time with the Montreal Alouettes in the preseason, the early part of the season. Ended up joining the Raiders, and he was on Hard Knock with the Raiders this offseason. An outstanding returner, outstanding receiver. And obviously, again, we have a connection with us both going to the same high school in Alexandria, Virginia. So I'm rooting for him to be successful and to really make a mark in this sport because he's a very talented athlete. Just needs the right connection and the right people to believe in him to give him that true shot.
We mentioned that we would be talking NFL and CFL with you. So the biggest news in the NFL is the Jalen Ramsey trade to the Rams. Yeah. It's a first round pick going back. It's basically for picks, right? Yeah, to the Jags.
Right.
Yeah. Who do you think won that deal?
Whew, you know what? As I sit here now, I think it was even. I mean, is it possible for everybody to be happy?
Yes. Yes. Ramsey, yep.
Okay, so here's the thing. I think Ramsey won overall. If we get the teams, Ramsey won because he didn't sign an extension. So now he has two first-round picks on his back plus a contract extension that needs to happen because he didn't sign one prior to leaving. So it would have been akin to an NBA signing trade where you sign him, you get the big money, and then offload that money to the other team. Well, now he's with the Rams, and the Rams basically saying, we can't cut you. We got to pay you. So he's going to set the new bar as the highest paid cornerback in NFL, deservedly so. The kid is an absolute playmaker. When he's on and he's locked in, and now he's playing for Coach Phillips, who can extract the most out of corners. You saw what he did in Denver with Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib, and you know what he can do in, with Marcus Peters and Talib when they were with the Rams going to the Super Bowl. So you put Ramsey in that scheme and the quarterback getting rid of the ball quick with Aaron Donald in that defensive front, that kid is going to make a lot of plays and eventually make a lot of money as well. So I think Ramsey won overall, but because he wanted to get out of Jacksonville. I think he'll hurt, some point because of no state income tax in Florida and the high state income tax in California. So the money may not look the same, but at the end of the day, I think both teams won. The Jags needed picks. Obviously, this is not a year for them to make the steps they thought they were going to make. And the Rams, you know, they're trying to win now with McVay in that offense. So I think it was win-win for both.
Willie, I'm curious. It's been a tale of 2 months for a couple of teams, the Kansas City Chiefs. Are what everybody thought coming out, and then all of a sudden they hit a bit of a wobble. And, of course, the Dallas Cowboys. It's kind of like a shopping cart that's got that one wheel. Like, it's really starting to shake. What do you actually see out of these two teams?
Oh, man. Well, first off, I see that my name is associated with both of them. Good Lord. Right? Shoot, the Kansas City Chiefs and then the Cowboys. And so we'll take the Chiefs first. And I think what teams have seen is that the offensive line is definitely not as strong as they once were. Mm-hmm. And you got to think, they're missing a number one overall draft pick at the left tackle. Regardless of what you felt about him going into the draft or what you thought as a football player, enough teams thought that that kid was the number one best player in the draft, and he was drafted as such, and he's been out. And when you lose people up front, it changes everything. As great as Patrick Mahomes is, he's only as good as the people in front of him. And I think between the offensive line being hurt, and I think the defense not being able to establish consistently getting off the field, that's hurting. Because if you can stay on the field, the best defense against Patrick Mahomes is a great offense. And you saw the teams that hurt him were the teams that ran for over 100 yards. They possessed the ball. Houston had a chance to punt the ball on fourth down. They said, forget that. We ain't giving the ball back to them. Patriots had a chance in last year's playoffs. Man, we better keep getting these first downs, because if we give the ball back, we're going to lose. And so the best thing for them to do is to keep them off the field. And the last two games have shown that. So it could be a blueprint. I think having Tyreek Hill back is going to be important. And then once they get that running game really going, it's only going to open up the offense more. So it's natural learning curves for quarterbacks. As great as he is, he's still going to have to learn, and defensive coordinators get paid a lot of money to try to stop him. And that's what we're seeing now. And then coming here to Texas with the Cowboys, I just think that, again, offensive line, guys getting injured, mm-hmm. not being able to run the ball. The last time I was on, I talked about they got to sign Ezekiel Elliott because he makes the game go. He makes it easy for Dak. He makes it easy for play action. It makes it easy for guys to get open over the middle. And I really feel like if the offensive line isn't firing and Zeke can't run the ball, but then that puts a lot of emphasis on the passing game. And when you got Cooper out, Randall Cobb hurt, you know, Witt not playing as fast as he once did, all those things are starting to crop up, because now everything's falling on Dak to make these plays. And so he can do it. Don't get me wrong, you can do it. And I think the offensive system is set up for him to do it. They just got to get healthy. And once they get healthy, they'll be back to what they did the first three games, getting everybody involved, Jason dominating the middle. It's just tough to do when you can't run the ball effectively.
Willie, social media blew up Monday night with that Monday night game mm-hmm. between the Packers and Detroit with all the officiating missteps in that particular one. From your perspective, what was there? Like, was it something that you would have gone ape show, you know what about, or was it something?
And
what does it do to an athlete who's on the field at the time? Like, put yourself in the position of the Detroit Lions. How tough is it to try and come back from that and finish off the game?
You know what? It is extremely challenging when you feel like you're going against a good team, a good opponent, and you got to go against the stripes as well, right? And when they're not seeing the game the same way you do, because at the end of the day, all athletes want to play on a level playing field and call it square. I'm dealing with this right now with my youth football team. My son is in sixth grade, and we're dealing with the officiating here, and it's the exact same thing. So it's at the youth level all the way up to the pros, and I preach that to my kids. It's like, look, you got to take care and control what you can. But when the refs, who are paid to do a job the same way you are, can't get it right, then we have a problem. They went through extensive training to not miss these calls, and we have to hold them accountable as athletes and as administration and as organizations. You got to hold them accountable to do their job. You're not volunteering out there. You're paid to do it. And so the athletes are out there trying their best to win a game. It's hard enough going against all-pro tackles and Hall of Fame-level quarterbacks and Hall of Fame-level receivers, but then you got the stripes missing or blowing calls or not making it the way that you want it. It causes it's dejecting. It really is. It makes you step back and say, all right, I still got to give my best because that's what I'm paid to do. But it is awfully tough to do it when you got other eyes that aren't seeing the game the same way you are. Those are two egregious penalties in addition to the unnecessary roughness. The kid was going for the interception. He can't control where his helmet goes if I'm going for the ball. You can tell he didn't line the receiver up to hurt him. And as a defensive player, I would call it if I saw that he was leading and targeting, right? Because I'm all about the safety and health of all the players on the field. But he was going to make a play on the ball. His hands were out. His eyes were squarely on the ball. Mm-hmm. The receiver's head changed the target. And when you change the target, you can't pin that on me. Yeah. I'm not a robot. I can't adjust my angles mid-flight with both feet off the ground. So that was a terrible call. And then the two hands to the face, they were agreed. I mean, you can't make that call at that moment. No. And it's not. And that's the thing. I don't want circumstances to dictate the integrity of the game. Hey, you guys were up 30, we're going to let that holding call slide. Hey, you guys were down 15, we're going to call something extra to make it close. So I don't care that it was third down or fourth down or they're about to punt or kick a field goal, because I don't think circumstances to dictate the integrity of the call. But a spade is a spade, and a legal hands to the face should have been his hands lifting that dude's chin and face mask up. His hands were on that guy's shoulder pads, and he was extending. He was trying to create separation, and there was absolutely no penalty there, and it was called as such, and it gave the Packers a chance to extend the game and then ultimately win. Now, to Detroit's problem, they also got to go out there and stop him again. So you can't let that get down. So as athletes, we're trying to move on to the next play, but it is tough when the stripes aren't working for you.
Jeremy has written in and says, I'm with Belichick, review every call. Here's the problem with that. Belichick wants to be in the stadium for 7 straight hours for That's a game. Right. We don't. And we have a three-hour right, right. window. Yeah, for the games.
This is true.
Willie, by the way.
TV ratings.
Yeah, congratulations, Willie, on being inducted into the Hall of Fame at West Potomac High School Wolverines, your old program in Virginia. So kudos on that.
Lastly,
as an Argos alum with the shakeup there, yeah, can you give me your take on where they're at moving forward with Pinball at the helm?
So let me tell you, I'm excited for one, for Pinball. I'm excited for John Murphy as well. Two outstanding guys with championship executive level experience. They know how to find players. They know what the league demands. They know the culture of Toronto and what it demands to get out there and play and bring championships to that city. Unfortunately, I didn't get to win one, but they know what it takes to get them there, right? And so what I'm excited about is the level of athletes that are continuing to come through the CFL, the level of competition that continues to elevate up there in the CFL. And so the Argos are going to match that. They're going to see what teams are doing well, what they need to do with their coaching staff, with their scheme. And if anybody can motivate, Pinball can motivate a tree stump. Okay, he can motivate a tree stump to grow more leagues. That's how great that guy is, and I'm excited for the Argos, for the city, and to bring some that winning culture. I mean, we're not too far removed from winning a Grey Cup, and so it's not difficult. Like, the CFL is not like the NFL, where you can come back with a few key moves, a quarterback in place, which is really the most important thing. Once you get that trigger, man, that changes everything. When they got Ricky Ray, wins started to follow. And so when you got that trigger, man, everything changes. So they get themselves an established quarterback who can make plays. They surround them with good football players. You get a couple young, hungry guys like I once was to come up there that want to play themselves. Supposed to be right back on top. So I'm excited for them and excited for a lot of things happening in the CFL. It'll just be good to see the Argos back on top instead of at the bottom of the win column.
All right, Willie, this has been outstanding. Thanks for the time this morning. Enjoy the football, and we'll chat with you here shortly down the road.
Absolutely, man. Appreciate you guys having me, as always. Have a great one.
You betcha. Willie Powell from Texas today. And I have a feeling that the Pinball Clemens can motivate a tree stump. Yeah, is going to live in infamy.
To motivate a tree stump to grow leaves.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
It's true.
That was great.
It's true. I just hope people in Toronto pick up on that and maybe retweet it a bit. We'll be back with more in the bunker with Les Lazarek and the Duke, Derek Myers, in episode number 95 of the program on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com. And don't forget to catch all the best clips on our YouTube channel.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
locally owned and family operated. Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Show on this Wednesday morning, 16th of October. Episode number 95. We've been recognizing number 95s. My old buddy Luke Mullinder, of course, he heads the list for me. Lucas Mullinder, the Polynesian Prince.
What?
Our social media advisor over here, Ty Dacus, pointed out Richard Dent. For you Bears fans, I remember when the old NFL Sega.
Richard Seymour.
You always picked the 85 Bears.
Richard Seymour was? I think, with the Patriots.
Yeah. Mike Pringle. Somebody pointed out Mike Pringle.
What?
Once you pop, you can't stop. Did he wear 95?
I thought he was 27.
Mike Pringle, the running back?
Oh, in the 95 Baltimore Stallions. That's what it was.
Yeah.
95. That's for the team, not Mike Pringle. Miles Garrett. Cleveland Browns DN, Matt Duchesne from the National Hockey League, and Ricky Foley, the country boy, will be here on video chat in hour two, number 95. How apropos is that? Our official photographer, can I say that? Keith Hirschmiller?
Yes.
Do we have one?
Yes,
official photographer?
He is.
We do now. Hershey writing in, he says, are you going to have a John Lynch wet t-shirt contest for your 100th episode?
So does that mean Lynch in a wet t-shirt or Lynch judging a wet t-shirt?
I'm all for the wet t-shirt contest. How about you guys?
If Lynch is in the wet t-shirt,
Lynch isn't, yeah. Listen, everybody's getting all geeked up about the 100th episode. DuPont, I hope you have something special planned for 100. And everybody's asking, what are you going to do with the numbers when you get to...
Is that Monday?
You're going to have to tune in to watch. That's all I'm going to say on the numbers. I don't know what he's got planned for the party. I know what I got planned for the number thing that we do every day. I'm not going to tell you now. Come on.
That's next Wednesday.
Right. Spoils the surprise. All my topics that I had... Oh. I asked you guys what you wanted to talk about. And before you leave, Les,
yes,
we will get your comments on Canada's team, the Saskatchewan Roughriders, as they charge towards a 13-win season. But just a little more on the Expos. Game four of the ALCS rained out today, Astros-Yankees. But the Washington Nationals have already punched their ticket to the World Series. What is it, 86 years?
86
years. First time since the Washington team's gone. And this is the old Montreal Expos franchise, for those that don't know. That's why I put my lid on here, which I bought specifically on St. Catherine Street.
Very nice.
Just a couple of years ago.
Classic.
Thank you. So somebody texted an anonymous texter on the Prairie Mobile text line, says, should Montreal hold a World Series parade if the Nationals win?
Have you been down St. Catharines on a Saturday night?
It is a parade every night.
It's kind of like a World Series party every night.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah.
But it would be a good, if they do win the World Series, should they? But I know we're kind of putting the cart ahead of the horse here, but.
Sure, why not?
I liked Arash Badani sporting the Expos shirt last week on your show.
Wasn't that awesome?
Yeah. I liked his suggestion that, hey, could they play one of the games at the Big O?
Yes.
If they make it to the... I mean, I like all these things.
If we're going to play a World Series game at the Big O, might as well have the parade in Montreal,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
I don't think we need a game in Montreal, but a parade would be nice should they win it. And it kind of looks like they're going to be lining up against the Astros, does it not? The role the Astros are on?
Well, when the Astros pitch Verlander and Garrett Cole, I mean, yeah, they look really good. They just need that third starter to come through. Zach Greinke, hello, it's on you now. You've got to find a way to start pitching better.
It's the old Spawn insane in 2 days of rain.
2 days of rain, that's right, yes. Yeah.
Well, I know this. When we go down to Houston in December, where I'll be loading up on Astros gear, there's no doubt. I always like their stuff. But we will be pulling for the Expos. And I just think... because they're going to the World Series. We know it. We're going to get all these World Series, or these all these Expos, sorry, stories on TSN and Sportsnet. And well, we should. But the reason I bring up how it tugs at a lot of our hearts that we're Expos fans growing up, it's like the Oakland Raiders moving to Las Vegas. Like, they're still selling out every game this year. So you can't predict fan behavior, because if you could, you'd sell out every game. I would have thought the Oakland fans are like, you're leaving? Beat it. I'm not going to the games. But they're selling out every game. And will they continue to follow the Raiders when they go to Las Vegas? You mentioned the Coyotes with the Jets. You're from Winnipeg. You guys were close the door. Get the hell out.
Yep. That's right. I don't know if they will or not.
You don't know.
But I think American football is a different animal, and American fans are different than Canadian fans when it comes to something like that. So I think Oakland fans might just very well still follow the Raiders. In fact,
it gives them
an excuse to go to Vegas to go see a game. Why not?
Yeah. And I know a number of Expos fans who are Nationals fans, Ian Hamilton being one of the biggest.
Yep.
Former writer for the Leader Post here in town. That's his squad, and he's stuck with them through thick and thin.
God bless him.
I guess it comes down to the individual, because we've got guys that watch this morning, quite a few of them every morning, from Cranbrook, BC. And every time we bring up the Winnipeg Ice, they boo.
Oh, goodness.
On the Facebook wall. So I guess it's an individual thing. But I mean, I will be wearing this in the World Series and rooting for the Nationals from an Expos standpoint. But I guess not. A lot of people don't care. Like Dupe says, he does not care. You know, didn't grow up an Expos fan.
But if the Saskatchewan Roughriders move to Quebec City,
would you cheer for them?
Would you still the Quebec City Roughriders, would you still cheer for them?
No,
probably not.
No. I mean that's a bit of an extreme case.
That's why they don't care. It's a good point. It's a good question. Mm. But the Riders are not moving. They're here. They are 10-5. And Les Lazaruk from Saskatoon joining us in the bunker here. Your take on the green and white as they get ready for BC Friday.
Lots of fun to watch. The loss to Calgary, I think, is just a blip on the screen, because they've got the most favorable schedule of anybody amongst those top three teams in the West. I am a believer that the Riders are still in position to finish first and host the West Division final. There are three things, though, that could come into play. One being that they stubbed their toe, which they shouldn't do, against BC this week, or in the back-to-backs against Edmonton, because those two teams are playing backup quarterbacks, which really aren't good enough to be in the CFL right now, but they have to be because of the injury situation. So as long as the Riders don't stub their toe, A. B, as long as Winnipeg and Calgary split their upcoming two games, and that should happen, but the Stampeders are pretty darn good, and that's the only thing that worries me, is that the Stamps are just so good that they're rolling right now, and they may not finish rolling until they've won the Grey Cup come the end of November. And the third thing being, and this is the one thing that I really hope against, Cody Fajardo, in the year of the injury of the quarterback, keep that man upright, because if he goes down, the Riders are sunk, obviously.
Hey, nothing can stop him, not even break-ins into his truck.
Yeah, I see that.
He's got God on his side.
Yeah.
Well, he does.
I share your optimism, but I don't know that Winnipeg can split with Calgary.
Well, that's maybe the biggest question. Yeah,
that is. Yes, it is lined up. The Riders should win the next three. That should put them in the driver's seat. Now losing the tiebreaker, and yes, all things equal. But I'm kind of leaning with when you say maybe the Calgary Stampeders don't slow down until they've had the Grey Cup victory. That would be my concern. Although I do think, and this to me, again, because I start looking at things on the marketing side, is the most important. I do think the Riders are lined up absolutely perfectly to get at least a home playoff game.
Well, I would agree with that.
I mean, I would take something really you know, kind of catastrophic for them not to have that. That's super important. Of course, first would be best.
Yes.
But at least you have that home playoff game. And I think it's a far different scenario than we saw last year hosting a playoff game. That's for sure. When Winnipeg came in here, because then it would be Winnipeg again. And I just think it's a completely different scenario when you actually have a quarterback versus, you know, a guy that's
one read and run.
Yeah.
Janelle watching from Saskatoon. She says, glad to see one of my favorite humans on your show. Les is the best there is.
Thank you,
no doubt there. Great comment from Sean Dahl. He says, it depends on why a team leaves. If the Flames were to leave because the billionaires didn't want to pay for arena, then sorry, I will walk out and get an Oilers jersey. And that's fair. Like with the Expos, they were playing to 4,000 fans a night. If you remember the end of it, they were bad. They left. We're like, see ya, we can't even blame you for leaving. And Montreal doesn't even want you. So, yeah, it's a really good point from Sean, why they leave, for sure. Les, lastly, on the... Well, we have a lot of viewers in Saskatoon. Almost as many from Winnipeg watching this show as from Saskatoon, and you're from both places.
Yes.
What is your take on the Bombers and their chances to challenge for a Grey Cup under Chris Streveler? Because as you probably saw, Mike O'Shea yesterday saying this is Streveler's team. It's not Zach's. Zach's been great, and he's ready to go, but it's Streveler's team.
It's Streveler's team until such time as they find that he can't get the job done, and then I really do believe that you will see Zach Collaros get his opportunity. At some point in time in these final couple of games that the Winnipeg Blue Bombers have, I think Zach Collaros is going to get a chance, and he may very well make people forget all about Chris Streveler. As long as he wins one game against Calgary, that's all I care about. But from the Blue Bomber perspective, Streveler is a one read for the pass and takeoff guy, because that's as much patience as he has, because he has so much confidence in his running ability. And I think everybody in the league is starting to catch on.
Oh, yes.
Montreal didn't last week for some reason, but the Riders did, and I think Calgary will, and I think it's going to come to go up against the Blue Bombers that eventually Michael Shea is going to realize that, yeah, I can't go with this guy. I got to go with Collaros, and I think that's what's going to happen.
Can Andrew Harris throw passes? Like, that's the next best option.
Can who, sorry?
Andrew Harris. Like, just get the ball.
He does everything else, so
yeah,
why not?
Exactly. Let him throw it once in a while.
That was a John Lynch-worthy rant from Les Lazaruk, looking right in the camera.
I love it.
Where is the camera?
To Lynch? The barrel.
Yeah, that was a Lynch-worthy rant. Okay, Les.
Hall of Famer.
And safe travels.
Thank you.
And you, of course, you have a home here whenever you want.
Appreciate
it. Yeah. All right. Next hour, Amanda Ruler, Ricky Foley, and Andrew Gotsalig. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.